today. Different ideas. Let's see how far we can get. Let's start off with the sugya, some chidushim in the sugya of animals. Uh-oh. Obviously, Parashas Noach is all about animals, right? It says in the pasuk, "V'ato kach lecha." Hashem says to Noach, "Take for you mikol machol asher ye'ochel v'yosafto elecha." In preparation for the Mabul, Hashem says to Noach, "I want you to collect food. You're going to need food for 1 year. You're going to be on the table for 1 year. So you shall collect mikol machol, everything which you know. We don't think about it. We don't discuss this. We think about it. Then Noach built the teva, and Noach went, and all the animals came into the teva. But an enormous amount of preparation was the food preparation.
They didn't have canned food either.
They did. Who says they didn't have canned food?
They didn't.
Maybe they had, you know. How do you know there was no canned food? Maybe they had.
They didn't invent it until the Civil War.
They had microwaves, convection ovens. They had a commercial oven in the teva, solar powered.
How is the food preserved for a year? That's unbelievable.
Beats me.
Everything.
The whole thing was the Ma'al Amirach HaTeva. No question about it. They would never get a building permit for this building. They would go read the dimensions. They would never get a building permit to build such a structure. Impossible. V'yato, but part of the preparations, V'yato, kach l'cho mikol machol asher yochel v'osavto elach. A very important pasuk. Hashem says to Noach, you know, you better collect all the food. There's not going to be a miracle for this. You collect the food. There's a lot of food you're going to need for a very long time. And then what will you do with the food? V'hoyo l'cho. Isn't it obvious? No, it's not. It will be l'cho for you, v'lohem, and for the animals, l'ochla. Okay? Now, there's an obvious problem with this pasuk. It's so obvious it should jump off the page. Not exactly. What's the problem? There's a classic halacha, and many people who have pets know this halacha very, very well. It says in Chumash Devarim, we said in Kriya Shema, V'nasati Esev b'sadecha livhem techa. I will grant grass, I'll grant food for your animals. And then it says, V'ochalto, you will eat v'savata. From this Chazal learn that you person must feed his animals before he feeds himself. A person has a pet, it's a very big deal, and it's already the time when one would ordinarily feed his pet, but he himself did not yet have lunch, have his food, and he's very hungry. He comes home from work, and he has a dog, and the dog is very hungry. The dog is acting out because the dog has not been fed in its normal time, and he's starving because he has not eaten the entire day. So who goes first? So this halach and Shulchan Aruch, some hold it's Doraisa. The Mishnah Berurah brings many Mekoros that it's not Doraisa, only Midrabanan. But the halacha, whether it's Doraisa or Midrabanan, is a person must feed his pets before he feeds himself if the time of their feeding has already passed. That is the halacha. Animals come first. Gzeres HaKosov, first, V'nasati Esav B'sotcha Livhem Techa, first for your animals, and then v'yochalta v'savata, then you come. We once gave a shir here, maybe we should do it again. Pets in halacha. I already saw two svarim. I have one, there's another, someone else came with another sefer. Right. In English.
The difference between cats and dogs.
What difference between cats and dogs?
Because the tzoya of a cat is...
Very good. The tzoya of a cat is in halacha is not called tzoya. Only
is called
tzoya. The other way around. I don't remember. I don't remember. I don't remember exactly. Is that sure? Forgot. There are a lot of halachas. There are many, many halachas relating to pets and people have pets. Shabbos, muksa. People don't know the halachas of muksa. It's a very big problem touching a pet on Shabbos because of muksa. How do you walk a dog on Shabbos? And feeding animals. And there's a plethora of halachas. Binogea. Pets, you know, it's a big deal today. Today everyone has pets. See, kids have hamsters. And they have turtles. Fish is very big. Machlokes apoyskim. Do you have to feed the fish? Is that included in the halacha? Is it included in the halacha if you have not yet eaten? If you have the feeding time for your fish, your goldfish have come to pass, and you have not eaten lunch, are you mechuyev to feed the goldfish before you eat yourself? Machlokes apoyskim. Some say fish are not included in this halacha, and many say fish are included in the halacha. Okay, turtles, all these things. It's a very, very, very complicated halachas. I'll tell you a good story of the Chazanish in a few moments, which is Nogea. But the basic question we want to ask over here is and it brings out an incredible chiddush. That the reason why it brings, because of the chiddush that it brings out, is mind-boggling. And you'll see in a second what I mean. But right now, let us present the basic question. We have a contradiction. We have a classic halacha. Any Orthodox Jew who owns a pet knows the halacha that if the time of feeding has come for the animal and you are hungry, the animal goes first. By the way, that's only true with regard to solid foods. With regard to liquid, taking a drink, then human beings go first. Exactly. Rivka, she said, I will give you to drink, and then I will give the camels to drink. So when it comes to liquids, the halacha is human beings go first. When it comes to solid foods, animals go first. That's a general concept. We'll come to details in a moment. Question. Here, there's a positive by Noach. And Noach, it says, V'hoyog Noach, make sure you go out into the world and you buy up the supermarkets. They're anyway going out of business. You'll get it at half, get it at a good price. They're going out of business anyway. So, collect the food, V'hoyog L'cho. You come first, and then V'lohem. Stira. So you have a stira, right? So how are you going to answer the stira?
This is
Mayim, and this is... So what does Mayim want to say? What's Yechidish? Let's say this.
What'd you say?
What I said, I didn't say anything.
One is
Mayim,
and one is...
It says food. Mikol. It says Mikol Ma'achol Asher Ye'ochel. That's solid foods. V'yosavto Eilech, gather it to you. V'hoyo, it will be L'cho, first you, and then V'lohem. Good morning. Shalech, watch your step, one second. And then the lohem liyachla, contradiction. How are you going to answer this contradiction? So I'll tell you a story. A story which interesting. There was a Maisha Hoya, there was a neighbor of the Chazonish, it seems. He brings down here in Shleime Mitzio in this beautiful store. Neighbor of the Chazonish, there was a couple, and they had a cat. And they were devoted to the cat. You think only in America people have pets? They had a cat. And they were devoted to the cat, believe of a nefesh. They fed the cat, they took care of it, they bought the cat, whatever it needed. Okay? And then the wife, she passed away. Okay, the wife passed away, and the only one left to care for the cat was the husband. And the husband was an elderly person at this point in time. I guess it was a new cat. How long did the cat live? Whatever it was, they had a cat. And the husband, you know, he liked his cat, it says in the story. But he was an elderly person, but he couldn't take care of the cat the way his wife took care of the cat. And very often, he would need to eat. And it was a tremendous tircha to always feed the cat before he fed himself, before he ate himself. So he asked the Chazanish what to do. What to do about his cat. So the Chazanish told him, be mafkir, he told him, get three people, make a bezdin. He told him, so get three people. Bring them into your house. They should sit down sit down, and in front of them you should say that you're being mafkir the cat.
You could have sold the cat.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, you could have sold the cat. Interesting. Okay, you didn't say that. You were saying very good. Be mafkir the cat, and therefore this is the first answer. This is the most basic answer to answer this question. And problem though, it's not necessarily the halacha. So it's the chash and the chazanish, the story of the chazanish. He explains like whole lamedus. The basic answer is the only time the halacha applies that the animal comes first is only if you legally own the animal.
Right, because the cat you don't own.
What do you mean you don't own?
It's a wild animal. Dogs are domesticated, cats are...
Today don't own a cat, people can own a cat.
Yeah, and people do, they think they do.
What do you mean?
You think you own a bird. Do you own a bird? The Gemara says...
Why not? Of course you do. Yeah, you do. Why not? Why can you own a cat? You go to the store, they plush plenty of money.
I understand, but they're still their own.
In this instance, the person, he owned the cat. It was his cat. He legally owned the cat. That's what it seems in the story. And the Chazanish told him, you have a problem. The solution is be mafkir the cat. Declare in front of three people that it's not your cat. The cat wants to come back. The cat, you feed the cat once, never feed a cat. You feed a cat one time, you're finished. They'll bring with them all their friends, like collectors. You feed a cat in front of your house one time, they'll come back with all the cats. They'll come begging you for food and continuously. So he fed. So if the cat wants to come back and you want to feed him, gezunt to hate, but it's no longer your cat, Mimela. You're not responsible. The halacha does not apply. You only mechuyev to feed the cat before you feed yourself, only if you legally own the animal. So therefore, that's the answer. When it says in the pasuk of Yevinasati Sebezot Livhem Techo, to your animals. Then animals come first. Then v'hodar v'yachalta v'savata. Noach doesn't own the animals. Noach took the animals into the teva to save the animals. These are not Noach's animals. These are Hashem's animals.
Would that be a
Kenyan? Good question. Excellent question. You're asking a good question. Mr. Mills is asking, why don't we say that Noach acquired all the animals? Because he took the animals into his rishus. He built a teva.
No, they took Noach into their rishus.
Oh, that's already, no, that's going too far.
Right.
I know. So you're asking Taka really a very good question, Mr. Wilson. It's not, yes. Why don't Taka you say that Noach owned the animals? So you want to get out of there, you want to wiggle out of the question. All right, you'll say Hashem told him, you know, you're not the Baal HaBos, you build a teva, save the animals, it's my teva. You can wiggle out of it, but there's a better answer. This is an incredible chiddush. Right? This is really the reason why it got me excited. Hashem said to Adam HaRishon very clearly in the beginning of Bereishis, don't eat meat. Adam HaRishon was a vegetarian. You're not allowed to eat meat. The first one that was permitted to eat basar was Noach. That was after the Mabul. After the Mabul, Chol Chaya Sa'aretz Lochem Yiyeh Lo'achla. Chazal analyzed this and they said that until the Mabul, it was categorically forbidden for a human being to eat basar.
So awesome. Kavaros before the Olah?
Excellent. Yes, another Google. You're really on the ball today. You really, one after another. So Mr. Mills Rally asks, what do you mean? Don't we have a tradition that Adam brought Karbonos and Cain Cain Hevel brought Michel from the animals?
Michel
Vehen. So they brought Karbonos. So Mr. Beanstalk is on the ball. So whoever said that they were shlomim, the only carbon that you eat is a carbon shlomim. Maybe l'choira, the Karbonos that Adam and Hevel and all of the people before who brought were oilois. You do not eat an oila. In fact, it's osur. Hashem, what are you going to tell me that there's an exception was
they
made?
They didn't know that Allah was osur.
It says in the passage they did know it was osur.
Adam could only eat fruit. He was only that if he was going to bring a carbon.
The pashtus is that it was osur. The pashtus is that it was osur. They knew that it was osur. And the question now is, how then were they able to bring korbanos? It seems they did bring korbanos, and oilois. They brought korbanos that were not eaten. This idea. Okay, now here's what it says over here in this sefer. It says a very, very big chiddush, a true incredible chiddush. He links the two together. Who says this? I think a Rishon says this, or maybe an early Acharon says this. It's an incredible chiddush. And the reason why, no, let's say, Mr. Marillus, you are correct. Noach built the teva, it's my teva. You come into the teva, you become my property. Noach, he collected all the food, it's my food. I went, before the Mabul began, I went to all the supermarkets, I bought them all out. I cleaned them out. We stocked up in the teva, it's my food. You want food, pay for it. Before the Mabul began, someone wanted to go buy a bag of potato chips. You gotta pay, not for free. I own the potato chips. If I own the potato chips, I take into the teva, so I own all the animals. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible today for a person to own another person? Well, a Jew not. It's impossible. It's impossible. There's a deacon in the pasuk. I don't remember all the details, but the bottom line is, a human being, according to the Torah, put aside dina de malchus dina, put aside, you know, international law.
Gemara uses the pasuk,
Avadim, 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 Avadim. Maybe that was the Makar. A Jew, legally, a human being can, according to the Torah, own another human being. You can legally own them. That's a chiddush. That you can legally own them. Slaves. Okay, I know international law, today it's illegal, fine, whatever that means. But legally, one human being can legally own another human being. Can a human being, a Jew, can a human being own a Jew? No. There's no such reality in the world of halacha of a Jew owning another Jew. The closest you'll have is an Eved Ivri. And the Torah Beferish says that just because you call him a slave, it doesn't mean you own him. Adarabba, he's the master, you're the slave. You have to treat him just as good as you treat yourself. You have only one pillow, he gets it. So it's impossible for a Jew to own another Jew. Now take this back to before the Mabul. According to what it's saying over here, there's a tremendous chiddush. I have to understand why it should be true. If you can't eat the creature that you own, that you don't own him. Ownership is synonymous with the ability to consume the creature. Before the Mabul, man was not allowed to eat basar. If you can eat it, that automatically means you do not own it. Because there's something to it. If you own something, you do whatever you want. If I own this cup, I don't know, it belongs to the shul, right? And what's it? If I own it, I could take it to my backyard, or I can burn it, I can destroy it, I can cut it. If you own, the definition of ownership means you can destroy it. Yeah.
I have a problem with that.
Okay.
We say by an Eved Kanani that you own it, right?
But you can't.
If you kill an Eved Kanani.
Shloshim shel Eved. No, it's not true. If you kill it yourself, you're not chayav shloshim. If the master himself. Yes,
if it lives for 24, right? If you hit it and it lives for 24 hours.
If it lives for 24 hours, that not Eved Kanani, in Yom Yomayim is an Eved. I think Yom Yomayim is. Then you have to pay. No, you have to pay for it. I think.
Yeah.
I know you're not chayv meat. You have to pay for damages. Hilchos nizokin.
But we see that.
But that's if someone else does it. Let's say the master.
No, the master does.
If the master is, he's not chayv misa for killing an Eved Kanani. So that's a good question. What do you chayv? You chayv for tzar bali chayim. Yechayev, it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. But for the master, those laws are where someone else damages your slave.
That's the third.
Shloish v'shalavet. If you kill someone else's slave, you have to pay 30 shkolim. There's a din of yom yomav. The person lasts for 30 for a day. So then that's not chayev misa. You're not chayev misa for killing the person. I think it's a regular Jew. If you kill a person,
right, the beginning of Mishpatim is a regular Jew. Then it says in Shein Abdo or Shein Abdo, so Yapil, Achav Shi Yishalchenu. That's already.
Achav Yom Yomayim Yakum. Then
that's before. That's Achav Yom is by a Jew.
Okay.
Later is talking about a Sheketz.
Okay. I hear we have to. I don't know the halachas. I don't know. You have to review all the halachas and when it applies. But generally, if there are exceptions, okay, we have to work with the exceptions. But I'm not making that. This is not my chiddush.
It says,
yeah. That's an Eved Ivri. That's a Jew.
Yes, that's a Jew. Yeah.
There's no such thing as owning. No, it's not a Jew.
At the beginning, until Shani, Tavra, or Yerapay, that's talking about an Eved Ivri.
The Eved Kanani Hakosei Vedak.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's what I said later in Shani.
No, he's saying in that pasuk. So let's see what he says. Let's see.
It says, Nokem Yinokem, Misa Sayyid. You get Sayyid.
Eved Kanani?
If you kill an Eved Kanani.
But which pasuk? What's the pasuk?
It's in Mishpatim.
Okay. Right after Shani. Oh.
V'chiyake
ish es avdoi. Oy es amosai by Shevet. Umeis tachas yadod no kom yinokem. Pasuk chof Rashi. Okay, basic yisoy this Rashi. V'chiyake ish. Be'eved kinani yakosu medaber. Oy ein el oy ein el be'eved. Every question. Tamalama ki kasmu. Ma kasmu koni loy olamas. Af eved ka koni loy olamas. Me'ela v'harei hoya b'chlal ma ki ish v'meis. El ba kasmu yoytzir ben haklal li yoyst nidon b'din yoymo yomayim. She'im loy meis hachas yodah v'shod meis leis potter. B'shevet. So he's saying that you kill an eved kinani and he dies immediately chayev misa. Unbelievable, I didn't know that. The only difference between Eved Kenani and human being is that if he doesn't die right away, then you're potter. Bashevet, let's just read a little further, make sure Bashevet. Kishesh Bagdil Lachamis, I'm going to say, you know, but I feel in Bagdil Lachamis, I'm going to say, you know, Eved Yonah Shayomis, what you call. Okay, next. Vahodim Kalachamim. Ma Yisho, Chamo in Chayev Olav, Elim Kei Mahiko, Bidav Shesh Bagdil Lachamis, Alayver Shu Kedil Lachamis, Eved Akal, Lachal Shayim, Nokim, Nokim, Misa Saif. V'cheinu oimer, cherev noikemes nekambris. Okay? Achimim yamayim yamod lo yukom. Im al yom echad hu potter, al yamayim lekoshchein, el yom shuku yamayim ve'ezem eis le'ez. Lo yungasu ho achar shikohu, av abi shesho me'ez le'ez, koidim shemeis chayiv. Okay, if you kill a goy, an Eved Kenani, it has to then be, okay, if I'm not mistaken, it has to then be because an Eved Kenani, I'm just thinking with you out loud, is a real Eved Kenani is a shtickle Jew, because you put him in the mikvah, and he's chayv in mitzvahs ki isha. So an Eved Kenani is a shtickle yid, which then means that there's a different type of ownership. A Jew you can't own. You can never own a Jew. Ki li b'nei yishol avodim avodahim v'lo avodim l'avodim. You cannot own a Jew, impossible. An Eved Kenani, you do own. So you own Eved Kenani. But obviously, because a real Eved Kenani is chayv in mitzvahs ki isha, and has bris milah, that's a fact, and has tefillah, and he's only chayv in mitzvahs ki isha, so obviously he's in a different class. He's someone that you own, you do own him obviously, but because already he's already a shtickle chayv, he's already chayv in mitzvahs, he's in training, the whole shala, how you look at an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani is an extremely complicated person. There's a chiv misa, the farish, like he says, is chiv saif. But a regular guy, let's say you own a human being, and it was not, he's not in the category of an Eved Kenani. Are you allowed to do that? Is there such a thing? Yes. Stam, there is. I don't know. So then it would seem that's not called an Eved Kenani. I'm assuming that. Let's say for argument's sake, when it says here in the pasuk, if you kill Yichayev Misa, let's say you legally own him, go to the market, you buy him, and you did not yet get a chance to be toivel him, to do bris milah, and set him straight, all the things that you normally do, and then he rebels, and the master says, "What a bad boy," and he kills him on the spot. Is Yichayev Misa? I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Okay, this is an excellent point, but let's put this aside just for the moment, because there is an incredible logic behind this, which is incredible what it says. Generally speaking, you have this in my HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created this world. If you're the Baal HaBos, that means you can put it to an end. The definition of being a true owner is you can shut it down. If you really, really own something, a full degree, the definition of ownership is, you know what? We're shutting it down. That's enough to be a rabbi. You have a rabbi. If he owns the shul or he's an employee, let's say the rabbi is, what's the only difference between a rabbi that's an employee and a rabbi well, there are many differences, but one of the main differences, let's say the rabbi, it's his shul, and there's too much talking in shul. So then he says, you know what? This talking, you know what? The shul is shut down for the next 2 weeks. There's no more shul. Go find another shul. In 2 weeks, we'll reconvene and decide if people really want to daven here anymore. Otherwise, you know, I'm retiring. Can a rabbi do that? Can a rabbi say, you know, I'm the rabbi of this shul and I'm making a decision. There's so much talking in shul. Achil Hashem goes on in this shul. Everyone talks. It's a bazon for the Sefer Torah. You know what? There are rabbis who did this. You know what? The shul is closed for the next 2 weeks. All you people, either daven at home, don't daven, go to another shul. Take off 2 weeks to think about what is the purpose of a shul. There's no minyan here anymore. The shul is closed. Can a rabbi do that?
Yes, they did it during the COVID, no?
Oh, I can't compare to COVID. We're talking about for religious reasons, not because of the religious reason, not because of the religious reason of Ushmartim Es Nafshe Seichem. We're talking about a reason, put aside health issues. Talk about, there's talking during davening, and it's totally out of hand, and it's just a zoo. And the rabbi says, you know what? We're shutting down the shul for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, maybe that'll be the end of the shul. Can the rabbi make that decision? Does he have the power to make that decision? Well, it depends. If he's the Baal HaBos, it's his shul, yeah, do whatever he wants. Let's say he's an employee, he's been hired by a board, he can't do that. It's not my shul. It's not my shul. Yeah, there's a lot of leeway, I have a lot of power, I can make decisions, but I don't have the power to shut the place down because I'm not the Baal HaBos here. If you are the Baal HaBos, the proof, the litmus test of being the Baal HaBos is you can shut the place down. If you can't shut the place down, you're not the Baal HaBos. That's the litmus. That's the ultimate litmus. You can hire who you want. You can fire who you want. You can punish people. You can do this. You can do that. Can you shut the place down? If you can't shut the place down, you're not the Baal HaBos. If you have an object, if I can buy an object and destroy it, I'm the Baal HaBos. If I have an animal, I buy an animal, I go to the market, I buy, oh, there's a beautiful giraffe. I like this giraffe, I want to buy the giraffe. You buy the giraffe, pay $1,000, you bring the giraffe into the house. Can I go now and slaughter it and eat it? So if the answer is yes, you, Taco, own the giraffe. But if you cannot slaughter it and eat it, you're limited in what you can do to this creature. The government regulations don't allow you to eat dog meat. Today, it's the worst I've ever you can possibly do. Human meat is not so bad. Cannibalism is not so bad. Oh, you go and you play with a dog, oh, you're finished. Okay, this is there's no greater avera than to abuse a dog. Dogs are much more important than people. So then, you're not the Baal HaBos. No one in America owns a dog. Impossible. You may pay a lot of money for it, you may be responsible for it, but if you cannot eat it, if you cannot take its life and eat it, you are not the Baal HaBos. That answers the question, and there's a logic to this. That answers the question. Do you know why Noach, it said, V'hoyo l'cha v'lohem l'achla, you come first, and then your animal? Noach could not possibly own any animal. Because Hashem said to Adam, you're not allowed to eat the meat of an animal. Off limits. If you cannot eat the meat of an animal, even what we call a kosher animal, you're not the Baal HaBos. No, there's no such bailus. Adam, man, until the Mabul, had no bailus on animals.
They could eat fish?
Uchari, yeah.
That's why the fish didn't come into the
table. Interesting idea what you're saying. The fish didn't come into the fish tanks. How come there were no aquariums?
They had no opening to get the fish.
What do you mean?
The table was shut down. They were inside locked.
Insulated. They could have brought them in an aquarium. Put them in an aquarium. Take some dolphins. The whole thing was a miracle. Make an aquarium.
God decreed that.
Oh, so Taka, why not? So Mary is saying an idea. The reason why...
how you would take all the fish in there, they would have
to put all the animals. In the table. The same way there was...
No. You'd have to put water in the table.
That's right. Yes. Make a tank.
You gotta have water
a tank.
How many fish?
What did he drink?
And how many animals?
Hundreds of thousands of fish.
Not every fish, just of its min. L'chol minoy. Every min.
But you couldn't do...
And what about the birds?
Tenth of the fish that are in the sea.
And do, what are the birds? Do we have today the number of birds that exist in time of the Bria soil? They said there were millions of varieties of birds and animals, exotic animals and insects.
He took the ones that were existent at the time.
Yeah, so the same thing with the fish. It was a nace. The amount of creatures.
The water was destroying the world, but this fish swim in the water.
The teva.
The teva.
Even what we have today. Today we assume that we have a fraction of what existed in Maaseh Bereishis. We assume many creatures are extinct today. Isn't that a correct assumption?
Yes.
Many.
Not since the flood.
Fine. But whatever it is, what we have today, go out to the zoo. Go to the zoo, go to the Bronx Zoo, try to take just what's in the Bronx Zoo and fit it into a structure of the dimensions presented, three-floor structure of the dimensions presented in the, this week's parasha. Impossible. Just as bad as the Bronx Zoo. Try to go to all the zoos in the world and collect all of the exotic creatures. Impossible. So we're dealing over here, that's something that we're just l'mal and derech hateva. So why not the fish? Why not the fish? So he said, because the fish, there was no marble. It was very hot. It says that the Tohoyim was fire. Well, listen, so Meir is suggesting an idea. He's saying an idea that Adam only took into the Teva things that he had no shlita over.
Noach.
Noach took in only creatures.
Adam, did Adam own the animals?
No. That's the same exact idea. He did not own, because I'm telling you, the definition of ownership is you can do whatever you want. The litmus test of ownership is, can you shut it down? Can I eat it? That's the litmus test. Don't tell me about America. America, you can go own a dog. You can go have a title to a dog that you own the dog legally. Can you eat the dog? They'll kill you. They'll put you away forever if you eat a dog. So that means that according to the Torah, you don't own the dog. If your limit, if there's a condition, a Tanai Kofel in the government, in the Medina, that you can't eat the dog meat, it means you don't own the dog. Because the definition of ownership is you can do whatever you want. The same way Hashem made this world, Hashem can shut it down. He can do whatever. That makes Hashem, he's the Baal Habira. If you don't have complete, complete control, you can incinerate it. You're not the Baal HaBos. You're not the Baal HaBos. If you're not the Baal HaBos, that answers the question. Adam and Noach, until the marble, were not permitted to eat basar. Off limits. Don't you dare. No achilas basar. No achilas basar. You know what that means? You're not the Baal HaBos. If you're not the Baal HaBos, you're not nichlal. And what it says, it's what it says in the pasuk. First, Esa besodcha levemtecha. It's not my behemtecha. It's someone else's property. Oh, I'm responsible to feed it? That doesn't count. What counts is ownership. Noach owned nothing. He owned nothing. He's just a caregiver. Memela, you go first, Noach. Lecha v'lohem liachla. It's an interesting insight. It opens up. And now it explains, now this also explains shlomim. Okay, and it's taka very true. The Chazal say, when you eat kachim, are you the Baal HaBos? So now let's try to understand the carbon, a carbon oila. A carbon oila. Do you eat a carbon oila?
No.
Carbon oil is kodshei kodshim. Kodshei kodoshim. A carbon shlomim is called kodshei kalim. Kodshei kalim. What's the difference between kodshei kodshim and kodshei kalim? Kodshei kodshim, you don't own. When you're makdish an animal as a carbon oila, it's kodshei kodshim. It's not mine anymore. It's totally off limits. Kodshei kalim, I'm the Baal HaBos. It's mine. I possess ownership. And why is that necessary? And you possess ownership. Well, and you eat it. Kodshei kalim, the fact that you eat kodshei kalim is a revelation. Why does Hashem want us to eat the kodshei kalim? Look at it in that form. So when we learn, you know, you learn the sugis of kachem, oh, there's carbon oila, carbon shlamim. So what do you say? First of all, let's take a step back. In all of the pagan, it's an oxymoron, pagan religion, pagans are not religion, but in all of the idolaters in ancient times, there was no such thing as eating a sacrifice. This is a novelty that we don't appreciate, and we take it for granted. The Kohanim, they ate the shlamim, the carbon chatos, carbon asham. Come on, all the korbanos were eaten. This was a novelty, because the idolaters, you eat the carbon? Are you out of your mind? The whole purpose of a carbon, a sacrifice, is to burn it to God, to burn it to an idol, to eat it. So how do we look at it? We look at it saying, no, you don't understand. That's the whole. It makes a carbon makes peace between man and God. It makes peace between man and his fellow man, and between man and himself. It totally changes the dynamic of the purpose of a carbon when you're eating from the carbon. Chasi laHashem, chasi lachem. Part of the animal goes to Hashem, and part of it you eat. And that's the challenge. The whole purpose of Judaism is to take the gashmias and to elevate it, to sanctify. That's the run of the mill. This is a very basic approach to Yadus. By Goyim, they don't understand this concept. When they go to church, they pray. There's no kiddush in a church. There's no such thing. I don't know what they do, but at a church, there's no catering hall in a church. In the sanctuary, they worship. Whatever they do, they have smoke, and they have all their hocus pocus. Did you ever see on television Sunday morning the priest having a kiddush, making kiddush for his congregants? Boy, they priagofen and pass around some rugelach. I never saw a Sunday morning in my early days watching television Sunday morning when I played hooky from going to yeshiva. I never saw on television in any of these church ceremonies where the priest...
He does give wafers.
They eat it? They eat the wafers? The matzah, the menachos. They taka eat it?
Yeah, they eat it.
They eat it? Those are holy wafers. Those are nuts. Okay, but
they came from
Ohrid
Biscuit. They had an OU.
That's a Hechsher? The wafers of a Hechsher? From the OU.
Halal.
B'diavad, OU is also good. L'chatchila halal, but B'diavad, OU is also good. Ralbach's Hechsher is also. Triangle K is also good.
My friend's brother was a chaplain in the jail, and he was starving.
The wafers. And
it
has an OU. The wafer
had
OU.
Communion wafers had an OU.
Okay. So I take it back a little bit. But they don't have rogalach. They don't have cholent. They don't have potato kugel. Pacha. Come on. They don't know what pacha is. I'm sorry. There is such a principle in Yadus to take the guy to...
The New York Times made a point years ago. They were talking about wine. They said Manischewitz is... biggest customer is the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
They recommend Manischewitz wine for their ceremonies.
I think, you know, Article at one point, and they still do, they published English literature books. People don't know about them, called textbook. It's published by Article. They take English literature and they clean all the preachers. Today in this woke world, they would never buy this. But the church, they love this stuff. They take, you know. I remember in high school we had the English literature, these big thick English literature books. There's a lot of non-kosher,
inappropriate
material. So those days, no one would care. Whatever, whatever. So art school came along one day, and you got to see the book. It's an incredible book. English, it's second to none. I mean, this is all the real heavy-duty English literature. They just cleaned out a couple of articles.
Classic
literature. They took out a couple of the articles, and they have, you know, look at the beginning of the book. Chani and Miriam and Shani and Sarah, the editors, and they have questions and answers. It's an unbelievable book. And who did they sell it to? First of all, to all the yeshivas. That's what the purpose was. And then the church. The church found out about this, and they became Article's biggest customer for this volume. They must have made a killing. For the yeshivas, they charge $25. For the government, they probably charge, $100 a book. They made a lot of money on the. I don't know if they still do this. They would do. I know someone that was working on for them, biology book. I don't know if they ever published it. In any event, let's get back to the topic over here. The topic over here is that
they say Cardinal O'Connor, who turns out he was Jewish, but he ordered the
Article Chumash, Gemaras. So in the story is that the first time they published the Article Stone Chumash, so they brought in the Article Stone Chumash, and right away he opened up to the pasuk, V'atah shvu lachem po im hachamor. And he read the commentary, Am Hadoimel Lachamar, a nation that is comparable to a donkey. And he made some nasty comment. They're still calling us donkeys. That's what the first thing he did, opened up that page, and he looked at Pasuk, and that's what he said. All right, put that aside. Going back to our topic. So the general mahalach is the reason why Yadus is unique in respect to sacrifices in regard to the reality that we eat the korban is to teach us a lesson that Judaism does not advocate separation. Goyim only know when you're in church, you pray. When you're out of church, God is only in the church. He's not watching what goes on in the world. The world, you do every other under the book, who cares? And that's not the case. Yadus, there's nowhere you can hide from Hashem. You have to take the Gashmias and elevate the Gashmias no matter where you are, even in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, you have a carbon. Hashem wants you to take part of that carbon that was offered to him, and Hashem wants you to eat it, to elevate the Gashmias. That is the Poshet Pshat.
You could even say, as I was going to say during the Navi session, it's a, you could call it a way of internalizing that Kedusha.
Internalizing the Kedusha. Now, based upon what we're saying, we're learning over here, I want to say a different Nakuda. It's not totally different, but it certainly has a very different emphasis, a different thrust. The reason why Hashem wants you to eat the carbon is Hashem wants to remind you, this is yours. This is not mine. Because when you, then this is the difference. It's coming, the eating is not to only to elevate the Gashmias, to internalize the Gashmias. It's a statement. The statement is, there's something called Kodshei Kodashim and there's something called Kodshim Kalim. What's the difference? Kodshei Kodashim is mine. Kodshei Kalim is yours. What do you mean it's mine? It's not mine. I was makdish it. It's hekdish. There are rules and regulations. No. Put aside, are you eating it? Are you consuming it? Consumption is the ultimate expression of ownership. And Hashem says, I want you to eat it, not because I want you to elevate the Gashmias. I want you to be a partner with me. I want you to appreciate that when you bring a sacrifice to me, you are giving of yourself. You're giving a carbon chatas. You did an avera. This is you. You're not taking money. Oh, here's a few dollars. We're going to buy an animal. It's your animal, Hashem. It's yours. And now we're going to go. We're going to slaughter your animal. It's your blood. And you're going to, by bringing a carbon oila, you're creating a very intense degree of separation. It's not mine. I'm no gay of me. It's someone else's animal. When you bring a carbon shlamim, it's not that Hashem wants you to eat to elevate. Hashem wants to impress upon you, this is not my animal. This is your animal. It's part of you. It's your heart, or it's you. It's an extension of you. And when you eat it, it's going to impress upon you, if I'm eating it, I'm the balabas. And yet I brought it to Hashem? What did I do? I slaughtered it. I slaughtered a piece of myself. The eating is not so much this principle that we're brainwashed, Baruch Hashem, which is a beautiful principle, to elevate the Gashmias. The eating is just a technique of Hashem impressing upon us, you own this animal, not me. And when you sacrifice this animal, you're sacrificing a living element of yourself. It's you. It's you who's being sacrificed. That's the purpose of it. Because eating is the ultimate expression of ownership. Again, that all goes back to this over here when it comes to Noach. Noach, what did Noach do over here in this parasha? Hashem says, first comes you, and then comes the animals. Because Noach, you don't own these animals. Because I never gave you permission to eat the animals. If you can't eat the animals, then they're off limits. You're just a caregiver. You're a caregiver. The halacha doesn't apply to caregivers. You can eat yourself first, and then you can be a caregiver. Okay, and that was the mice with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says, you're mafgrit. Once you're mafgrit, it's not your problem anymore. Okay, this is one answer. There are other answers to this question. Other answers are not nearly as good. Another answer is, and it's an interesting answer. It's an interesting answer, and let's say some want to say that there is really no distinction. The Chazon obviously doesn't hold from this. There's no distinction between ownership and non-ownership. The distinction to what then back of the question. So the answer is, Noach brought into the teva literally every animal in the world. Every single second of the day, it was feeding time for somebody. So if Noach would have to follow the rules, where every, okay, right now, I want to have lunch. No, it's now the zebra's, the zebra's time to eat. Okay, zebra comes first. Okay, zebra, here's your food. Okay, now it's time for lunch. Nope, the lion is the, okay, lion. Okay, now I can eat. No, the bat. The bat needs to eat. Okay, bat. This goes on the whole day. And then by the time you come around, now it's 24 hours. Noah would never, ever, ever be able to eat. If you have a pet in the house, okay, I got one pet. Feed the pet, and then you can eat. If you're dealing with a situation where 24/7, it's always someone's feeding time, you'll never eat. Okay, this is a technical answer. And you know, it's an interesting answer because you know what it really is? There's a mussar in the answer. It's like the Gemara says, if you have a person that's tzaras, and the tzaras spreads to the entire body, he's tar. Why is he tar? Oh, so what are you going to say? It's not tzaras. Because if it's tzaras, the definition of it's only limited. It must be it's a different type of disease. Okay, that's one mahalach. Or when something is so out of control, just forget about it. There's only that much you can do in this world. There's a mussar, in general mussar. You have a bezdin. Bezdin, the guy's a murderer. So they go to bezdin, they present the evidence. Unanimous. Unanimous decision, chayiv misa. Do you kill him? No, you don't kill him. What do you do with him? You kill him anyway. You just don't kill him with dollar misa's bezdin. Okay, what do? You lock him up, whatever. You're going to lock him up. The guy's not going anywhere. Don't worry about that. But you kill him with the din of Dalad Misa is Bezdin? No. He's beyond repair. Dalad Misa is Bezdin is therapeutic for the neshama. If everyone in Bezdin says this guy is guilty, there's no redeeming quality for him. There's no therapy for him. Just lock him up. Do I don't know, figure out what to do with him. When something is so out of control, the Torah says, don't go meshuggah. It's a very beautiful mussar in this. In all of these halachas have the same idea. It's a consistent pattern in the Torah. The Torah is here to help you grow. But you have to have something to work with. If there's nothing to work with, this is not for you. Then this technique, this halacha, is not for you. The Torah gives a person mussar. You come home from a day's work. You're tired. And the dog is looking at you. He sees, I also want to eat dinner. Don't forget about me. The Torah says, Tzar Balichayim. Have some appreciation for your dog. You know, he helps you, protects you, he does everything for you. Give the dog first. So you give the dog, and then you eat. But if you go home to come to a teva, what do you Chayecha Koidem. Chayecha Koidem. You can't solve the world's problems. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself. This is a consistent pattern in the Torah. If all of the Dayanim say Chayiv, that's it. Let the guy is not going to die. Misa Asves. I know, you'll tell me the technical reason is because no one's going to look for a Zuchus. Okay, the Ayin Panim Torah. But the Darshanim say, put aside the technical reason. Everyone says that he's guilty. No one's willing to go and be melameid zchus, to work with the reason. But on another level, that's not what the purpose of Dalad Mises Bezdin. The Dalad Mises Bezdin is here to give a person a tikkun, to help him, to help to pull him out of his matzav. If there are Dayanim that say he's innocent, that means he has in him a quality, some good qualities. But the majority says that he's guilty. We follow the majority. Okay, so we're going to take his life, but we're going to do it in a way that's going to satisfy those that say that he's innocent. They're going to be satisfied because his neshama, through the psakha, the dalad misa, his bezin, is going to get some therapy of kapara. Okay, in the case of tzaras, this is consistent. Now, there's another interesting answer. It's a very interesting answer. And the devotes of Rabbi Felder, who the author of this awesome Sefer, says, he spends probably the most time on this idea, and that is there's a chilik between food preparation and food consumption. hachonas achila and maise achila. L'moshel. Okay, I'm sure today I'm not familiar with all the details. I don't have a pet, Baruch Hashem. But maybe not. I'll take a step back. You know, I'll tell you. This is running out of time. I'll tell you. I just said a line which I want to tell you something very interesting. I know a person very close with him who deals with, you know, young adults who are at risk. Okay, that's not a nice term, but just for the sake of not having, and he deals with people all different types of problems, all different types of issues. Very yeshivish, very 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 holy person. And there was a certain person, a young person, he must have been probably 20, 21, 20, and all of a sudden he decided he wants to get married. He wants to get married. Maybe he was even young, maybe he was even 19, I don't even know. It was very, very immature person. And this person who was, you know, involved in whatever he does, he told me he doesn't want him to get married, he's not ready. No way. He'll get married. This kid, it'll be, from his experience in dealing with this every single day, it will be a disaster. And he says to me, what he needs to do now is, he needs to get a dog. He needs to get a dog, a pet. He needs to learn how to take care of a dog.
And then he can get take care of a wife?
Yeah, yeah. He needs to understand responsibility of taking care of a living creature, of feeding the animal, cleaning up after it, being responsible. Where is it? Is it? What's it doing right now? He says, "This is what you would never expect a big rabbi with a long white beard to go say. I want him to go. He has to go get a pet. He has to have a pet. He'll have a pet. He will learn responsibility. It's an incredible thing. You see people the whole day walk down the block, nonstop, in this neighborhood, all over the world. Pets." You know, it's not so bad. People like me, I can't even deal with, you know, it's just too much for me to deal with. It's not always, depends. Depends.
People with special children.
Okay, that's another, Indian. That's another, a whole different other. But you see a lot of very low, so why do they have pets? Companionship, they're lonely. Most people have pets, they're very lonely. They're very, very lonely. Older people, this and that, they're very lonely. Okay, they have children, whatever. But there are people who the pet, they need something. The person has a need to love something, you know, to give to something. But for some people, it's an incredible thing. It's a constant, forget about it, the need to love. It's a constant musr sefer. A pet is a musr sefer. You got to take care of it. Responsibility. Got to feed it. I have to make it happy. And that training of responsibility, it overflows to other dimensions of their life. Once you're reminded on a daily basis that you're responsible, you know, so it comes to people also. There's a responsibility I have to my children, to my grandchildren, to this, to that, to my teachers, to my family. It's a constant musr. Okay, now going back, there's a chilik between hachonas achila and maisa achila. Okay, you come home from work. You're very tired. Open up the refrigerator, there is nothing to eat. Only raw materials. Raw food. You have eggs, and you have some raw vegetables. You have some frozen meat. You have some frozen things in the freezer. And then your dog is looking at you, and the dog wants to eat. And you look in the refrigerator for the dog, and there's nothing for the dog either. You have to also prepare food for the dog. Maybe you have to go to the store and buy something. So the question over here is, thank you very much. Thank you. Have a good day. Okay. Have a wonderful day. Thank you. Be well. Thank you. I always forget your name. I forgot. What's his name? Louis. Thank you, Louis. Thank you very much. A good man, Louis. The best. So there is a chilek between hachonas achila and mais achila. The halacha that Adam comes first is only mais achila. Hachonas achila, food preparation, the halacha that Adam comes first is only the animals come first. animal coming first is only maisa achila. I want to eat, and it wants to eat, animal goes first. Hachonas achila. Food preparation. I come home, there's nothing to eat. So I have to go to the store to buy for myself takeout, and go to the supermarket to go buy some whatever for the animal. Who goes first? Who goes first? Then man goes first. Hachonas, food preparation, man has kedima. Maisa achila, then the animal has kedima. Adam here, this pasuk here is describing food preparation. V'ato kach lucha mikol machal asher yiochel, v'yosafte lecha, food preparation. Buy out all the supermarkets. Stack up. Stack up. It will be a preparation for you, the human being, v'lohem, and for the animals, l'achla. This parsha in the Kriya Shema, it says, v'nasati esa b'sadr l'mdecha, that's achila. The animals grazed. It's a maisa achila. You, v'yochalta v'savata. The pasuk that says that the animals come first is the din of maisa achila. The din that Adam comes first is hachonas, food preparation, not the actual achila. I'll leave you with a shayla. This is interesting shayla. They presented this to the, I think it was the Chazon Ish. I think it was the Chazon Ish. Here's a question. You have a glue. What kind of mouse traps do you have? I hope no one has mice at home. Just put up a picture of shayla. Just in case that doesn't work. And you catch a mouse. Well, I like the violent ones, the guillotine. But some, not everyone has the guillotine in their house. And what happens if you have a mousetrap? And on Friday night, all of a sudden you hear a little sound and the glue mousetrap has caught a victim. It almost never happens. The mice in this generation are very smart. They all went to Kollel and they taught them never go into a glue mousetrap. They know better. It's very rare. The glue mat, they hardly work. You got to use the real stuff. You want to know about mice? Come talk. We'll give a share about how to catch mice.
No, you've
got to
put it in the right place.
I tried it everything. I tried it all. The glue is a waste of time. You get the good ones. You get ones. You get the real ones. They're cheap, and they do the job. They do the job, yeah.
They introduced a law in the New York State Assembly.
Yeah.
To outlaw the glue.
The glue. Tzav al
chayim. Psst.
Really? They introduced, but they didn't pass the law. I never heard this.
I heard this like 2-3 weeks ago.
Wow, 2 3 weeks ago. You can still buy on Amazon. You can still buy on Amazon. It's like styrofoam cups. Styrofoam cups have been outlawed already for over a year. Right, but you can still get styrofoam cups.
Oh, okay.
And you can go on Amazon. You can buy a million styrofoam cups. For some reason, the shul, they buy paper cups. The tzaddikim here, they don't want to get into trouble. You can buy still styrofoam cups.
You can buy
plastic bags. Remember those days, plastic bags, right? Buy plastic bags. But going back. So here's the shayla. You catch a mouse. You catch a mouse Friday night. So you didn't eat before Kiddush in a glue trap. Now it's time for Kiddush. Are you mechuyev to first feed the mouse in the mouse trap before you make? This is a real shayla. They present this to the Chazon Ish.
You feed it to the cat.
What? Maybe, interesting. As long as it's alive and it's in your possession and it's hungry and you're also hungry, are you mechuyev to feed the mouse that's alive in the glue trap that you've caught Friday night? You had a long way to go until Shabbos is over, until you throw it out.
It usually has food in the glue. They put little kernels.
Peanut butter.
So the Chazon Ish basically says, no, you're not mechuyev to. And he says there are many reasons to be matir.
Right.
And I guess basically, who says you even own it? You don't want to own it. You didn't. It's not your responsibility to feed it. I mean, you could, but the answer is no. It's ridiculous, but it's interesting. Shaila, think about it. Why not? How seriously do you take this halacha, this concept?
It's considered a baba machteret.
Okay, there are other interesting shaylas. I remember. Oh, he then these are shaylas. Rabbi Shaul, someone asked. I don't remember who they asked this to. They asked the Gedolei Shul. They brought home for kaparis. People don't do this today, but they brought home birds. they brought home Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, right? So you, today, you know, you go out to the whatever, wherever you go to go. But it used to be not that long ago. Even it could be even Erev Tishrei. You go into the street, you buy a bird, and you go home and you take the bird home, and you do it in the house with all the kids, right? You do that. You do kaparis with the bird, and not everyone woke up yet. Not everyone in your family woke up yet. Maybe your wife went out to the store. Not everyone is back yet. In the meantime, you have a bird sitting around in your house. Are you? And the bird is hungry. And you, the bird, by the end of the day, you're going to bring it back outside to the sheikh. They're going to shecht. They're going to give it away to Tomche Shabbos before. In the meantime, the bird is sitting around in a little cage in your house to do a little cage. And every children, they still do this. You can go to the, store. You go buy a little bird. They put a little cage for you, and you take it home, and you do kaparis for your whole family, for your neighbors. And when you finish doing kaparis, everyone does the kaparis. You go and you bring it back outside, and there's a person there. They're sheikh. They'll take care of it for you.
They used to pack up live chickens to deliver to stores who ordered how many chickens?
Live chickens. And so someone takes it home. You buy it. You buy the chicken. Are you mechoyev to feed this little creature until everyone finishes doing kaparis? One of your children went to work, he's coming back late in the afternoon, they haven't come up for the su'ud or whatever it is. Are you mechoyev? Not so pashut. If I own it, but I the only reason why I have the bird is because I'm doing a mitzvah of kaparis. Another interesting shayla, some people, they for tashlich, live in places where there's no, they're makbid to do tashlich bedafka on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, many people don't do that today anymore, but on Rosh Hashanah, and you want with this fish, people did this. They go and they buy fish, real fish. Go, I don't know what they have, and they go and they only have the fish for Rosh Hashanah for Tashlich. So they can say Tashlich in front of a little bucket. They can buy a bucket, and there's an Indian that there should be fish. They have a bucket, and you have a fish in the bucket. So it's not really a pet. If it was a regular fish in a fish tank, that's an old shayla. So some old fish, shiitake, you mechuyev to feed the fish at a certain point in time. Fish don't have to eat that often. It's not so hard with fish. Their feeding time is not all that often. And also people, you put in these automatic feeders. So the fish is not such a big shayla. But let's say you have a bucket and you have some little fish for tashlich. Today this doesn't sound like a common shayla, but go back probably 100 years ago, it wasn't such an unheard of shayla. And it's Rosh Hashanah. What are the halachas? How far do these things go? How far do you take these halachas to the degree where you have to be very, very careful? Okay, different opinions. Mishnah Berurah seems to come out of the maskan in the bare halacha that it's only midirabanan. Halacha lemaisa, this din of the animals coming before is halacha lemaisa, you can be makel. It is an adin derabanan. When it's a din derabanan, there are a lot of leniencies. Anytime you have a suffix, maybe already it doesn't need to eat now, you can be makel. And then let's say it's not your responsibility to feed it. There's another heter, even if it's you own it. Even if you own it, but it's not my responsibility. Let's say you don't own it. I borrowed it, or you mafker it. So there are, let's say the goal over here is to kill it. It's not a pet that you plan to, it's not a creature that you plan should live on. The whole goal is arois. The fish is not going to be around here. You're doing tashlich. The kaparis you're going to shecht at the end of the day. The mouse that you've caught, it's not going to be around. So that's not what the halacha means. We're dealing only with things that are meant to be preserved for a long time. Things that are not meant to be preserved, that's not in the halacha, medrabanan. You have sveikas, if this manachil has come, then you can definitely be very, very lenient. You don't see people today being so makbid on these things. You don't see it. You don't see people being so makbid on these things unless, I guess, you know, they really have real pets and they are very set.
Goldfish?
You don't see people being makbid on fish, because how often does the fish really need to eat? And if you have a real professional fish tank, people have a real deal. They have anyway automatic feeders. And all right, we'll leave it with that. Yashar koyach. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sein.